Another victim of a failing economy reared its ugly head last night. Partnerships with state organizations to maximize ELAP resources were once a readily available luxury. The organization began in 1987 with the intention of preserving land for both ecological and light recreational purposes. Sally Thompson is a member of the site review team. She said the ability to work in conjunction with other agencies was paramount in their success.
In the mid-80s, we started the program. I think we were the second or the third in the state to start this program. And what we were able to do after that is partner with state agencies, state programs, and regional programs. And so we've been able to leverage our land. For example, the Little Manatee River Corridor, and one of the parcels was Little Manatee River. That was a partnership with the Water Management District, because Swift Mud had a Little Manatee River Corridor. So we could buy separate spot parcels. We can work together and have an overall management and get more bang for the buck, so to speak. Shared resources. Same with the Alifi River Corridor.
ELAP has seen a drastic reduction in the number of properties nominated for acquisition. This year, there wasn't a single nomination for a full site assessment and only two for boundary modifications. Pair that with last year's lull in nominations, and the assessment team finds themselves looking for answers.
The problem there is you don't have the partnerships. I mean, we have been able to leverage our acquisitions by partnering with the state land programs, which are defunded now.
Right.
So when you're looking at things like, as I was mentioning, the Little Manatee River Corridor or the Alifi River Corridor, where we were working with the Water Management District to get more bang for our buck, to basically double what we were buying, if their programs cut way back, we don't have that leverage anymore.
But a lack in public funding isn't the only problem. Despite cuts in a tough economy, ELAP still has about $12 million in bonds to work with. Thompson said getting the public back on board and excited about the program is a crucial part in growing their mission.
I think that what happens is that, you know, you have one of these programs and there's a whole lot of public interest. And then through the years, people forget. For example, when the program first started 25 years ago, Sierra Club nominated a whole bunch of land, wildlife corridors, etc. 15, 20 years later, when we're having public hearings, nobody's showing up. And one of the things with our public meeting, I should say public meeting, one of the things at our public meeting, one of the things that we evaluate is public interest. So public forgets, you know, public nominates something, public's interested in something, and then they forget.
Thompson also suggested updates to the organization's website as well as presentations at public meetings. Fred Webb, a citizen involved with ELAP, said people need to realize just how much these programs and others like it contribute to popular Florida pastimes.
There's fishing. It's been said that areas like our estuarine coastal areas support about 80 to 90% of all the commercial and sports fishes during all or part of their life cycle. How many people fish in Florida recreationally and commercially? So it's an industry. I mean, it's a $1 billion industry here in Florida.
The two boundary modifications that were accepted last night will increase the size of the Little Manatee River Corridor as well as the Cypress Creek Jennings addition. Webb said additions such as these not only add space to properties, they often make access more readily available. ELAP officials will now take the matter to the next step, which will involve a purchase agreement for the land. ELAP cannot purchase properties for greater than their fair market value. For WMNF News, I'm Janelle Irwin in Tampa.